Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Red One is the new number one movie at the box office, but it has a rough road ahead of it. And it's not exactly the big comeback Dwayne Johnson was hoping for. November in 2024 can be described as backloaded at the box office, with Kelly Marcel's Venom: The Last Dance hitting theaters in late October. Major studios giving it a good amount of runway, arguably an error in retrospect given the movie's soft domestic debut. It's been a couple of weeks since the big screen got a star-studded title with blockbuster aspirations. On Friday, the drought got ended with the arrival of Jake Kasdan's Red One. The new Christmas-themed action film starring Dwayne Johnson and Chris Evans is not expected to have a long reign at the top of the box office, but you'll find it sitting in first place in the top 10. You can check out the numbers, with Red One sitting at number 1 with a weekend gross of $34 million. Then we got Venom: The Last Dance at number 2 with $7.3 million. Number 3 belongs to the Best Christmas Pageant at $5 million. Heretic at $5.1 million. The Wild Robot at number 5 at $4.3 million. Smile 2 at $2.9 million. Conclave at number 7 with $2.8 million. A Little Love Again with $2.3 million. A Real Pain at $2.3 million. Nora at number 10 at $1.8 million. Looking at a calendar, one will note that we have not yet arrived at Thanksgiving yet, but Christmas is already in full swing on the big screen. Last week, Dallas Jenkins' family-centric comedy, The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, debuted in the third place, and Red One is now the biggest movie in the U.S. and Canada. In both cases, the scheduling is likely preempting a digital release at the end of next month, just in time for the actual holiday. But for now, audiences are being urged to feel festive early. Playing in over 4,000 locations, per the numbers, Red One made $34.1 million in its opening weekend, which is the 18th biggest domestic debut in 2024, between Chris Sanders' The Wild Robot and John Krasinski's If. The film got a jump start earlier this month in some foreign markets and has earned $84.1 million worldwide to date. The bad news is that the movie is going to make a lot more money than that to ultimately justify its budget, which, per the rap, was in the $200 to $250 million range. Red One is a very different title, but the box office circumstances are reminiscent of what happened to Ridley Scott's Napoleon almost exactly 1 year ago. With a budget reportedly to be as high as $200 million, the Joaquin Phoenix-led film ultimately left theaters having made $217.9 million globally. And it's worth noting that the box office competition the historical epic faced wasn't nearly as intense as what it is ahead for the Dwayne Johnson, Chris Evans action comedy. While the big Thanksgiving movies of 2023 included The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, and Wish, late November this year has three massively hyped features arriving everywhere. John Chu's Wicked, Ridley Scott's Gladiator 2, and Moana 2. All three of those titles feel practically designed to steal away demographics from Red One. It likely means that the film will end November struggling to stay in the top five. This certainly isn't the box office result that Dwayne Johnson was hoping for. While there was a time not too long ago when he was making two or three movies every year, Red One is Johnson's first time back on the big screen since Black Adam in 2022. Which is remembered as a disappointment critically and financially. This, of course, didn't count his super brief post-credit cameo in Fast 10. The star will likely get to revel in success later this month when the aforementioned Moana 2 arrives in theaters, as he reprises his role, but his live-action career appears to still be in repair mode. The actor, formerly known as The Rock's upcoming slate of movies, is a mix of originals and sequels, including The Smashing Machine, Jumanji 4, and of course, Moana. We'll have to see what kind of legs Red One ultimately shows, but for now, we'll conclude this box office segment celebrating of the Wild Robot. The movie has now spent 8 weeks in theaters, having first arrived in wide release in late September. In addition to sticking around in the top five of the domestic chart, Animated Hit makes headlines this week by crossing 300 million worldwide. That's a bar that only 18 movies have hit in 2024 thus far, and ticket sales have been relatively even between domestic and foreign markets. The film only spent one weekend at number one, but it has finished in second place four times, including the final weekend of October. Of course, the Wild Robot sticking around as long as it has at the box office can be largely attributed to its extreme quality.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Which has been near universally appreciated. The animated feature earned raves from critics following its world premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival, and it's clear that audiences are loving it enough for repeat viewings. Looking ahead, the box office world is anticipating one of the most exciting weekends of 2024 in just a few days, as there has been much hope that the simultaneous release of Wicked and Gladiator 2 on Friday will inspire as much buzz as we saw for Greta Gerwig's Barbie and Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer, aka Barbenheimer, last summer. Be sure to head back here to the Cinema Gold Show next week to scope out the results. Check out the comment section to give us your thoughts about all the titles that are heading to theaters and streaming in the remaining months or weeks of the year, I should say. Of course, if you haven't yet, give us a thumbs up if you like the video. Hit that subscribe button down below. And of course, give me your thoughts on the topics we covered in the comments section below. And now, our next headline is going to take us to Disneyland and Disney World. We're going to dive into everything you need to know about Tiana's Bayou Adventure at Disneyland and Disney World. The next chapter of The Princess and the Frog is now open at both Disneyland and Disney World. Most wonderful time of the year at Disneyland Resort, and not just because the holiday festivities have arrived, but also because the Tiana's Bayou Adventure is now open following its debut earlier this year at Walt Disney World. And we're going to break down everything you need to know about this attraction based on The Princess and the Frog. Tiana's Bayou Adventure, an attraction that tells the next chapter in Princess Tiana's story after the events of The Princess and the Frog, opened at Walt Disney World on June 28, 2024, and is now open at Disneyland. For those unfamiliar, this water attraction sees guests helping Tiana and her alligator friend Louis venture into the bayou and find a band for her Mardi Gras celebration. A ride full of love, pride, gratitude, thrilling drops, and authentic New Orleans flair is a worthy replacement for Splash Mountain and has already cemented itself as one of Disney Park's best attractions. This absolutely holds true for the version at Disneyland, which Walt Disney Imagineer Ed Robledo, apologies for butchering his name, confirmed was the primary location they were developing the Bayou Adventure for, and it makes sense after all as Tiana's Bayou Adventure, and the newly rebranded Critter County are just steps away from Disney Park's only New Orleans Square. The version of Tiana's Bayou Adventure at Disneyland is very similar to the one at Walt Disney World, but there's a few differences that stand out. The ride time is shorter, and you're kind of moving through the experience at a much faster pace. Fortunately, the pace slows down when it matters most. Mardi Gras finale celebration, and that's a big improvement over the counterpart in Orlando. There's more time to enjoy the incredible festivities and enjoy everything happening around you. Besides, a greater chance of getting wet, and a few nice additions like stars representing the characters of Rey and beautiful Tiana food sign near the beginning, fans at both Disneyland and Disney World are getting mostly the same next chapter in Princess Tiana's story. and it's wonderful in both incarnations. Pair that with the legendary 50-foot drop, music from Princess and the Frog, and a true love of New Orleans, the people who make it so special, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, one of Disney Park's best attractions, regardless of location. So what is Tiana's Bayou Adventure? It's set in 1927's New Orleans, which is 1 year after the events of The Princess and the Frog, and Tiana is gearing up to throw a Mardi Gras party for the ages. She and her new employee-owned business called Tiana's Foods are helping bring this party to life, but they're missing a few key band members. And this is where we come in. Tiana and her alligator friend need our help to find this new crew. We will need to search high and low to do so. During the journey, guests will get to meet 19 new critters, including raccoons, bears, a turtle, and more, that will be part of the band. We'll run into Mama Odie and her pet snake, Juju, as they turn you small to help recruit the smaller musicians, and of course, experience that legendary 50-foot drop before joining the Mardi Gras celebrations. However, the story and fun don't just take place on the attraction, as the queue itself is just as important and gives us glimpses into the life of Princess Tiana, both before and after the credits rolled on The Princess and the Frog. From letters from her late father as he served overseas to a replica of her actual kitchen, where she is cooking up some of her famous treats. There is so much to love and care put into each part of this attraction. While James never got to see his dream come true of opening his own restaurant, Tiana took his hopes and wishes on her back and did it for both of them. And letters from her father, alongside photos and more, show how proud she made her dad. What also really sets Tiana's Bayou Adventure apart is how much it draws from the real world, specifically that world down in New Orleans. For those unfamiliar, the story of Princess Tiana is actually inspired by the real queen of Creole cuisine. The late Leah Chase was the former owner and operator of Dookie's Chases, one of the first African-American fine dining establishments in the U.S. and forever changed in New Orleans for the better, beyond just her incredible food. So much of Chase's legacy in New Orleans is infused into The Princess and the Frog and now Tiana's Bayou Adventure. As you are walking through the queue, you just might hear a cover of Louis Armstrong's Do You Know What It Means to Miss New Orleans? The art and music of Tiana's Bayou Adventure is inspired by artisans from Louisiana and beyond. And even the critters themselves honor the musical scene in New Orleans. Speaking of Malachi's favorite, the art you see on the outside of Tiana's Bayou Adventure was painted by this incredible artist in her home in Louisiana, just outside of Baton Rouge. Disney shipped the panels to her studio. She painted them with her own hand. They were shipped back and built into the attraction. Beyond all this, though, is the absolute magic of having a black Disney princess be the star of a Disney Parks attraction. You may be thinking to yourself, Tiana's Bayou Adventure sounds great, but how will we get a chance to ride it? Well, the complimentary virtual queue will be the only way to secure a spot for free during the attraction's initial opening days at Disneyland. This sadly means there will be no standby queue until further notice. Guests will need to be logged into Disneyland app and can try to join the queue at 7 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Pacific, and 4 p.m. Pacific. But there's a bit more to know beyond that. The 7 a.m. time will be available to anyone with a park reservation at Disneyland Park with either a one-park ticket or a park hopper. For the 12 p.m. and 4 p.m. times, guests will actually need to be inside Disneyland Park with a valid reservation or inside Disney's California Adventure with a park hopper ticket. These virtual queues go by in seconds, so be sure to be ready moments before it opens so you can be refreshing and joining as soon as it opens. Tiana's Bayou Adventure also features a Lightning Lane entrance for guests who purchase the Lightning Lane Multipass, which starts at $32 a day, but that is also subject to availability and can go by quickly as well. At Disney World, guests can try to join the virtual queue at both 7 a.m. Eastern and 1 p.m. Eastern. And guests don't need to be in Magic Kingdom for the 7 a.m. time, but they will need to be in the park for the 1 p.m. time. It's also important to know that Tiana's Bayou Adventure does support the rider switch feature, which is good for parties with guests who don't want to or aren't able to ride the attraction. All you have to do is talk to a cast member at the entrance of Tiana's Bayou Adventure. They will divide you into two groups. The first group will wait through the standard queue and ride the attraction, and the second group will jump right to the ride itself when the other group is out. Tiana's Bayou Adventure at Disneyland also has a dedicated queue for guests with disabilities, and the Imagineers took extra care to make sure they also got to experience much of the same story and world building from elsewhere in the queue. And lastly, if you plan on bringing your children with you on Tiana's Bayou Adventure, it's good to know they will need to be at least 40 inches tall to ride the ride. As we previously mentioned, Tiana's Bayou Adventure at Disneyland is very similar to the one at Walt Disney World, but there are a few notable differences that make for a bit of a different experience. First of all, the ride is faster in both runtime and in how fast you move through the scenes. Well, except for one key area, the finale. One of my biggest issues with the ride at Disney World is that you move through the incredible ending set piece way too fast and couldn't fully enjoy the Mardi Gras celebration Princess Tiana, Prince Naveen were throwing their community. This time around, you can take in all the new and returning characters, critters, and partygoers in a much more enjoyable way. The ride vehicle is also a bit different as it has 5 single seats and a single line as opposed to the bench seats that Disney World has. Oh, and there is a much higher chance of getting soaked on this ride. I'm not sure what it is, but that's what everyone told me. I did get some good tips though, so make sure you raise your legs on the drops, so your socks and shoes don't get soaked, and try to sit in the middle. The journey itself is also very similar to the one at Disney World, meaning you'll hit most of the same beats and see all the same characters, albeit in some different places due to the different design of the track. However, there is a very special treat when you enter the bayou, as you can see good-sized Tiana's food signs near the beginning of the ride, which is a nice addition. Also, guests who are lucky enough to have timing on their side, like some who get a chance, may get a treat when they soar down the legendary drop, as there is a chance the Mark Twain riverboat, all of its passengers, may greet you. Overall, both parks are getting a mostly identical experience, but it will be fun for some to compare and go back and forth and notice the small things that make them unique. So, people of course are asking, will you get wet on Tiana's Bayou Adventure? And of course, from what I've heard from people, the answer is yes, but it's a bit complicated. You'll get at least a little wet, but a variety of factors will determine how wet your adventure will be. First of all, Disney and many of the guests who have been on the ride has a higher, says Disneyland's version of the ride has a higher chance of soaking you. That being said, if you sit in one of the front seats and have a full log, water may be in your future. Of course, like I previously mentioned, and what guests have said, raise your legs on the drops and hopefully you can avoid drenching your socks and shoes. Fans of the Princess and the Frog and Tiana's Bayou Adventure will have plenty of chances to buy themed merchandise near the attraction and elsewhere. And we'll tell you where you can find the best stuff and what to look out for. The main Tiana Bayou Adventure gift shop is called Luis's Critter Club, and it is now open and will greet you as you exit the attraction. Before we get to the merch itself, I want to talk about the store itself as it has world building of its own. When you enter the doors of Critter Club, you'll see the doors of all the Animal Band members you're recruited during the attraction. Mama Odie has a seat across from the registers where she and Juju can watch the band members perform. Even the beloved frogs from Tiana's Bayou Adventure can be found sipping on their martini glasses. These fun additions are more than just set dressing, as it's also a way to give those who may not be able to ride Tiana's Bayou Adventure a chance to meet some of the characters and be part of the story. As for the merch, we can mention that it includes a spirit jersey, shirts for all ages, plushes of Tiana, a sleeping Lewis, and three of the band members, Apollo the Raccoon, Bo the Opossum, and Rufus the Turtle. Tiana's cookbook with recipes, a Loungefly Mama Odie's hot sauce, magic band, and more. I also wanted to mention a few more items, specifically with the first being Tiana's restaurant fun can that she used to save money for opening Tiana's restaurant. You can now own that and even write your own dream on it while you collect your own funds. What's even better is it comes packed with chocolate coins, and who doesn't love chocolate coins? Second is the light-up firefly accessory that comes in an adorable mason jar. Lights up and can even be worn as a shoulder buddy. Best part, however, is that it will light up and vibrate when you get closer to another guest with the toy. Lastly, you are able to buy Dookie Chase's seasoning, gumbo, fried chicken, and seafood, so you can cook up some delicious New Orleans dishes and taste the inspiration of this attraction and the film. Outside of the Critic Club, guests will be able to find themed merchandise at Starcade in Tomorrowland, and beginning on November 21st at Ray's Brett's, Eudora's Chick Boutique, featuring Tiana's Gourmet Secrets, also have a curated assortment of Princess Tiana and New Orleans-themed treasures. Disney World, guests can find Tiana's Bayou Adventure merch at the Critter Co-op. Overall, you'll be getting a wonderful experience no matter where you get the chance to ride Tiana's Bayou Adventure. But those differences will be fun to experience for those who get to go to both Disneyland and Disney World. So hopefully I answered all your questions, but let me know if you have any others below. We'd also love to hear what you thought of the ride. And with that, we move on to our next topic, of course. And that is, Simon Pegg has said that the Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning is the best in the series. And he even praised Tom Cruise's latest stunts, saying it's absolute bananas. Kind of tough to call this one best, because, well, me personally, I prefer the very first one, just because the first Mission Impossible is a classic. Like, it's one that I've probably watched over and over and over, and that set the stage for this whole franchise, which, when I first saw the Mission Impossible movie, before we get into the actual topic, I thought it would be good enough for, like, maybe three movies, but on what, like seven or eight now? That's crazy. And we're about to even get the Final Reckoning. But let's dive into that topic, shall we? Simon Pegg is Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning, and it sounds like Tom Cruise's stunts are going to be bigger than ever. All signs point to the film potentially being the last in the movie, so it makes sense that the franchise might be going out with a bang. Simon Pegg told Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, saying, quote, "Just finished shooting. I've got one day of pickups to do. I've seen some of it. It's bananas. Absolute bananas. What he does in this one, it boggles the mind. I think this one is the best one ever." I'm not just saying that because it's like, oh, you've got to say it. Recently, rumors began swirling that Cruise's Top Gun Maverick's co-star Glenn Powell was poised to take over the franchise going forward. However, Powell himself denied that claim. "My mom would never let me do that," he said. "That's the worst gig in town. Everybody knows that. That's a death trap. You'll be able to see Powell and Cruise share the screen again in the upcoming Top Gun 3, though. But let's see what really happens." Cruise is famous for doing his own stunts, and the Final Reckoning trailer shows off an impressive look at Ethan Hunt hanging upside down from a biplane. We can't wait to see the behind-the-scenes footage from that stunt. Final Reckoning arrives on May 23rd, 2025. Of course, let me know your thoughts on the Final Reckoning, if you're going to see it. What have you thought about the Mission Impossible franchise as a whole? And do you think this will be the last one? Or do you think Tom Cruise will continue it. Or will somebody else in the franchise become the lead star? Let me know. And with that, we move on to our next topic, of course. And that is the Chosen Universe is expanding with even more spinoffs. Chosen creator and writer Dallas Jenkins has just delivered a big update on the expansion of the world of the Chosen. And the news is exciting for all its followers. Dallas Jenkins was promoting his new film, The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, talking to the direct, and was quizzed on the development progress of the spinoffs, which will help both complement and expand the world of the Chosen. As was previously mentioned, the next project on the slate is an animated series titled The Chosen Adventures, which is set to be released in 2025, followed by a show called The Chosen in the Wild. And despite that, though, Dickens has actually confirmed that it will be a different series, a limited series about the character of Joseph, which is going to be released prior to the seventh season of The Chosen. Jenkins then added that another series entitled Book of Moses would be released in the aftermath of The Chosen, wrapping up its seven-season run, which would begin broadcasting about 12 months afterwards. If you want to catch up on the previous seasons of The Chosen, there are plenty of options available to you. While the series is set to depart Netflix in the next few days, in the U.S., Hulu, Peacock, and Prime are all showing the series. Full four seasons also available on the CW, and the official Chosen site streams all episodes too. So stay tuned to the Cinema Gold Show for more updates from The Chosen. And now, we're going to have a little more fun and reveal Ryan Reynolds' favorite lines that he wrote in Deadpool and Wolverine. Reynolds has explained why a certain scene in Deadpool and Wolverine features his favorite lines he wrote for the film. Deadpool movies have led to the actor finally joining the Marvel Cinematic Universe with Hugh Jackman's Wolverine in tow. Reynolds is one of the writers for both Deadpool 2 and Deadpool and Wolverine. The actor knows what are his favorite lines from one of the MCU's best movies. Ryan Reynolds revealed that the Hugh Jackman scene features his favorite lines he wrote from Deadpool and Wolverine. According to the star, the scene in question is the one where Wolverine is harsh when talking to Deadpool in the car. While his character is quite hurt by what Wolverine says, Reynolds thinks those lines are his favorite from Deadpool and Wolverine, quote, because you see what a raw, visceral powerhouse of an actor Hugh Jackman is. The scene shows the emotional potential the characters have together, and a Deadpool and Wolverine sequel could explore more of that. It is interesting that the Wolverine monologue is so beloved by Reynolds to the point that those are his favorite lines that were written for the film. While Deadpool and Wolverine features the characters as co-leads, the movie is part of Reynolds' Deadpool franchise. However, the actor has no problem propping up other characters and actors, despite being the one to play Wade Wilson. Reynolds has praised many stars from Deadpool and Wolverine's cast, which includes the actor asking for solo movies for Wesley Snipes' Blade and Channing Tatum's Gambit. More directly, Reynolds' comments show how much he trusts and respects Hugh Jackman as an actor. The star has been playing Wolverine for 24 years, becoming synonymous with the character. Since superhero movies often get overlooked at award ceremonies, an actor who has devoted such a huge part of his career to them could be as well. And that is why Reynolds is so proud of the Wolverine monologue he wrote for Deadpool and Wolverine, as it perfectly showcases just how talented of an actor Jackman is beyond the action part of the job, and often gets the most talk. Wolverine's dialogue in the car made for one of the most impactful scenes in Deadpool and Wolverine. I think Reynolds hit the reason for that on the head with his comments. The scene allowed Hugh Jackman to flex his acting skills in a way that he normally does not get to do with Wolverine. Having someone like Deadpool, who is known to never stop talking, being completely silent after Wolverine's lines, shows just how huge of a moment it was. Hopefully, Reynolds and Jackman will team up as the characters again after Deadpool and Wolverine to continue that dynamic. And finally, Disney has taken Star Wars off their 2026 calendar as Ice Age 6 grabs a date. Disney removed a planned Star Wars movie from its 2026 release calendar, while the latest installment of a popular animated franchise is taking that slot. Ice Age 6 has now been slated to hit theaters on December 18th, 2026. Details of the Star Wars film that was initially set for that date have not been disclosed. Disney announced last week that Simon Kinberg had been brought on to write and produce a Star Wars trilogy. Lucasfilm president Kathleen Kennedy will also produce the trilogy, with sources telling The Hollywood Reporter at the time that the film would involve new characters and would not be a continuation of the previous Skywalker saga that spanned episodes 1 through 9 of the sci-fi film franchise. Daisy Ridley's character Rey Skywalker is the focus of a different Star Wars movie and is actively in the works. This project was first mentioned at Star Wars Celebration in London in 2023. Earlier this year, the studios announced that director Jon Favreau's Pedro Pascal-led feature The Mandalorian and Grogu will hit theaters May 22, 2026. The film is a spinoff from the hit Disney Plus series The Mandalorian. Disney also revealed at D23 Brazil last week that Ice Age 6 is in production. Ray Romano, Queen Latifah, reprising their voice roles. Animated property was acquired as part of Disney's purchase of 21st Century Fox, and a new movie will mark the series' first theatrical title since the deal closed in 2019. Ice Age Collision Course, the fifth installment in the franchise, hit theaters back in July 2016 and surpassed $400 million at the global box office. And of course, with that, let me know your thoughts on the topics we've covered. Is there anything we missed? Anything we should have covered? Let me know in the comments section below. And of course, give a thumbs up if you like your video. Hit that subscribe button down below. You know that shiny subscribe button down below? Right there. Yeah, hit it. Hit it. Hit it. You hit it. Thank you. And of course, if you want to support the channel, you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/cinemagold. As always, your support helps the channel grow. Equipment, bring a new host, want to pay them, and hopefully one day take this show on the road. As always, your support can help make that happen. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
You have been listening to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Facebook at True Crime Never Sleeps podcast and on Twitter at True Crime NS. And follow us on Instagram at True Crime Never Sleeps. Thanks for watching. If you want to support the show, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNN or become a patron at patreon.com/truecrimeneversleeps.